The following program, Normal Show Live, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition. Well,
one major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents...
We love the earth.
Normal Show Live. Marijuana Nation. Now, here's your host, Normal's Outreach Coordinator, Radical Russ Belville.
Good afternoon, tokers and tokettes. It is Wednesday, November 10th, 2010, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Thanks for joining us for the next 60 minutes of news, talk, interviews, information, music, comedy, and more by, for, and about the cannabis community. Podcast as the Normal Daily Audio Stash on iTunes, and you can check us out at our blog, stash.normal.org. In hour two, we get to your live calls with Toker Talk Radio here at Normal Show Live, 971-533-7111. Before we get to all that, though, let's introduce everyone in the studio joining me here, pushing the buttons, turning the knobs, and generally riding herd over the entire show, the maestro, Ganja John.
What's up, Russ?
Oh, we're up, and the show is back. We're better than ever. We're on 601 and ready to keep on token all through the day here. We've got plenty of news and information to get to you. Also joining us from our virtual studio in Grastoria, Oregon, my quarter sister, Cannabis Carrie.
Hello, boys in the studio. It's so nice to have two of you there now.
I know. This is so much easier to do when we have the full complement. Carrie is our newsreader, and she brings us all of the latest stories on the wires about marijuana, cannabis, and hemp in our hemp headlines right after our first break. So, Carrie, what's in the news today?
Well, today there is so much crazy going on up at Great Falls. I had to split it into two stories, and also a little crazy going on over there in Massachusetts. I'm going to cover that as well.
Okay, and I've also got a stupid stoner story for us from Pennsylvania. Our special correspondent, Freddie Farrakh, will be bringing us that information later on in the show. At 20 after, we do our daily Toker Tunes, and today is Irie Wednesday. We get great music from Grateful Dread Public Radio out in New Jersey. Today we're going to be heading south of the border to get some Mexican marijuana music. This should be a lot of fun. At half past, every Wednesday, we always do our visit with Dr. Mitch Earlywine, America's leading marijuana researcher from SUNY Albany. He'll be answering your live questions from the chat room and from our call-in number, 971-533-7111. Then at the end of the show, a little bit of radical ranting. There's some raids up in San Jose that are just a preview of what we can expect from Attorney General Steve Cooley. It looks like he is going to hold on and win that race for Attorney General in California. That is bad news for all of us. It's Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we will have your hemp headlines and your daily Toker tune. So please stick around. You can also follow us on Twitter. I'm Radical Russ, Ganja, J-O-N, Cannabis, K-A-R-R-I. We'll be right back after this.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation. Been busted? Need a lawyer? Call the Normal Legal Committee for an attorney near you. Find one at norml.org. Remember, attorneys are cheaper than a lifelong criminal drug record.
Georgia. Hi, this is Willie Nelson, and I need your help. Our marijuana laws are terribly unfair, and they make criminals out of law-abiding citizens. Nearly 2,000 Americans are arrested every day on marijuana charges, and we are unfairly destroying the lives and careers of hundreds of thousands of people simply because they smoke marijuana. These are not criminals. They are average citizens like you, good neighbors who work hard, raise families, pay taxes, and contribute to their communities. And it's time we stopped arresting responsible marijuana smokers. We need your help to end marijuana prohibition once and for all. It's the fair thing to do.
For more information, contact NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Call toll-free 888-67-NORML or visit their website at norml.org.
Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's NORML News with Cannabis Carrie.
The city of Great Falls, Montana is taking a hard line against workers in the city who also happen to be medical marijuana users. The city has a Drug-Free Workplace Act from 1998 that currently does not include marijuana. Since the state's Medical Marijuana Act has a provision that says employers are not required to accommodate use of medical marijuana in the workplace, both the city statute and the recent ordinance banning marijuana will be updated. According to Jim Santoro, the city attorney for Great Falls, the new guidelines will be based on the state's medical marijuana provision and federal standards, which identify marijuana as an illegal substance. This week, Santoro said to KRTV News, quote, "Make no mistake, the revision is now ongoing, and medical marijuana in the workplace in the city of Great Falls will not be tolerated," unquote. The Montana Chamber of Commerce is also working to ban medical marijuana in the workplace. The chamber is taking the issue to the Montana legislature in January with a new bill they are drafting. The new legislation will expand the Medical Marijuana Act to protect employers from wrongful discharge suits if an employee is fired for medical marijuana use. The bill draft also addresses marijuana's effect on work performance, even if used off the job site. Great Falls Chamber of Commerce Vice President Tom Alfrey said, quote, "Our concern is for our businesses and for their use of any kind of drug in the workplace and how that impacts employee drug testing and how that impacts the law as far as how they enforce that," unquote. The bill would also prohibit employees who drive as part of work to use or possess medical marijuana, as well as employees who instruct or supervise minors. Bummer.
Yeah, okay, so they're really that concerned about any drug in the workplace, really? I'll bet we could find a whole lot of employees with prescriptions for OxyContin, Vicodin, Percocet, Xanax, all sorts of mood-changing and mood-altering drugs, perception-altering drugs. No, it has nothing to do with them wanting to go after every drug. It has everything to do with them wanting to go after marijuana. They don't hold any other prescription medicine, any other medicine that's legally used in the state of Montana to the same standards. And Carrie mentioned the drug testing angle. That's really what it's about. It's really hard for a business to turn to an employee and say, hey, I need a cup of your pee to make sure you're safe enough to work, when they're working alongside a medical marijuana patient who seems to be perfectly safe. It's an impossible logical argument to uphold, and people are beginning to get sick of it. I've warned people for a long time there's a backlash coming against medical marijuana, because when medical marijuana was passed, a lot of these people were believing that it was medical marijuana for the most extremely sick and frail individuals, people in wheelchairs, people, you know, in extreme suffering who would never be able to have a job. As it turns out, of course, people are getting medical marijuana to make their lives better, to deal with day-to-day pains and illnesses, to allow them to work better, to allow them to be able to have jobs. But that's not what some of these employers and these people that are against medical marijuana had in mind. And this is the backlash we're going to see here. Now, Carrie, you had some other news from Great Falls for us as well to follow up on this?
Unfortunately, I do. The tide of marijuana acceptance in Great Falls, Montana isn't getting any easier for medical marijuana patients when it comes to housing either. Landlords are turning to the legislature to make sure they're protected when it comes to medical marijuana. The Income Property Managers and Owners Group of Great Falls brought a list of concerns to a top city official during a downtown meeting on Tuesday night. They wanted to know if property damage from growing cannabis could be construed as intentional and charged as a criminal offense. Others were curious how no smoking rules apply to those that smoke medical marijuana. The group brought in City Commissioner and former Police Chief Bob Jones to address the concerns. When asked why the group brought in their own expert to discuss the issue, Group President Gary Sorum said, quote, "We have a guest speaker, and we have been fortunate enough to have the top speaker in the community speak about the issues dealing with landlords," unquote. Some of the 35 members present suggested a permitting process be put in place so law enforcement and property managers alike know who is in possession of medical cannabis. City Commissioner Jones said that current medical marijuana cardholders are not required to notify any government agency about their status or possession, but he says that that may be addressed in new legislation. Commissioner Jones told the group he will make sure to pass along bill drafts as he gets them to make sure members are kept abreast of the process as it unfolds.
Okay, so you can have your medical marijuana, but you just can't have a job, and you can't drive to that job, and you can't rent housing anywhere. So as long as you're an unemployed, homeless, severely sick and disabled person, we're cool with your medical marijuana use. That's apparently the standard that we're setting here in Great Falls, Montana.
And out of Cambridge, Massachusetts. Now, Massachusetts has enjoyed the decriminalization of marijuana for a year now. Citizens who are caught with an ounce or less of the substance are issued a citation that includes a $100 fine. Well, now the police commissioner of Cambridge has proposed two additional ordinances he thinks are necessary to ban public consumption of marijuana and to fine individuals who provide a false identity to a police officer when being issued a citation for marijuana possession. Cambridge police say the new ordinances are necessary to respond to what they are claiming is a significant increase in public use of marijuana in the city of Cambridge, the fourth most populous city in the state of Massachusetts. The police are claiming that trying to control the problem has been challenging since the state law changed. According to Dan Ravello, a police spokesman, police officers in Cambridge are having difficulty enforcing citations for possession of less than an ounce because state law offers no legal recourse against an individual who refuses to give his or her name or gives a fake name and address. Ravello calls the situation, quote, highly problematic, unquote, in enforcing the new law. In an email, he said the efforts to enact ordinances in Cambridge are aimed at enforcing the fine associated with the law and dealing with the quality of life issues that surround public consumption of marijuana. He goes on to say that obtaining a verifiable name and address is essential in assuring that offenders comply with the law and for the police to enforce the civil fine. The new proposed public consumption ordinance would be a fine of $300 for each offense. If a violator gives a false name, then they will be slapped with an additional fine of $200. Now, both of these fines would be added to the $100 state civil fine for possession. Opponents of the suggested fee increase say that adding more fees will not change the popularity of using marijuana, and it goes against the intent of the voters who voted in the statewide law making marijuana a civil offense only. Michael Crawford, a Cambridge resident and president of MassCon, the Massachusetts Cannabis Reform Coalition, said the police need to have more specific evidence and hard facts than those stated in the report to back up their claims that marijuana usage is becoming more of a problem in Cambridge. Crawford, who attended the first public hearing on the proposed ordinances, says that it seems like the police are trying to make a political case. Now, we did look it up. The police used a September 2010 report for crime statistics, and although the citations for possession of 1 ounce or less has gone up, the increases are modest and the citations are still few. Juvenile citations has gone up from 5 in 2009 to 13 so far this year, but adult citations in Cambridge in 2009 only numbered 21, and so far in 2010 they have 15, a number that the Cambridge Police Department is saying is on track to surpass last year's numbers. Now, those are a modest increase if you are using percentages, but still overall very small numbers to enact public policy.
Well, you know, this is a situation that's kind of interesting because the people of Massachusetts decriminalized in 2008. They set it up as this $100 fine, but as Carrie points out in the story, there's really no way to compel anyone to pay the fine because there's no way to force them to have to give their actual address or their actual name when it comes to you know, signing that ticket or getting that ticket. And you know, even as I am against you know, criminalization of marijuana, I do recognize that if there is going to be some sort of law there, how do you enforce the law when you don't give them any way to, you know, collect on the ticket? These are the kind of things, these kind of loophole things that while we celebrate them, our opponents look at them and see us yet again as trying to pull the wool over their eyes, as trying to pull a fast one. If we're going to go forward with legalization and decriminalization, we need to make sure that we're engaging, you know, the other side on this because they do have legitimate concerns about public consumption and about, you know, diversion to minors and things like this. As we move forward, we need to make sure that we are sincere about what we're doing. And when we decriminalize something and make it a ticket, well, we have to make it a ticket that's a real ticket.
Stupid Stoner Stories.
As a public service, Normal reminds you that smoking marijuana will not make one stupid. However, some stupid people do smoke marijuana. Don't be one of those stoners that make the rest of us look bad. Learn your lesson from today's
Stupid Stoner Story.
Go to our correspondent, Freddie Farrakh, and we have our Stupid Stoner Story coming to you from Western Pennsylvania. Dateline, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Uniontown, Pennsylvania, excuse me. Police say a new father faces drug charges because he lit up a marijuana joint instead of a cigar to celebrate his child's birth at a Western Pennsylvania hospital. Police aren't identifying the man found smoking the pot in a designated smoking area of Uniontown Hospital Tuesday morning, but say he'll face marijuana possession charges. Uniontown Police Sergeant Jonathan Grabiak tells the Pittsburgh Tribune Review that a nurse smelled the marijuana when she took a cigarette break in the same area, and a hospital security guard called police at about 3:20 a.m. Grabiak said the man told him, quote, "I'm having a baby and wanted to get a buzz," end quote, then pulled a bag of marijuana from his shoe. Oh, thank you, Freddie. Thank you for that news. This is why some people still fear marijuana legalization. They fear that it means there's going to be random dudes smoking spliffs outside every building alongside the cigarette smokers. They fear their kid's going to ask, "What's that funny smell?" when they walk through the park to the playground. Now, I'm not saying their fear is justified. There's nothing to fear from people smoking marijuana. I'm just saying it exists. In order to legalize marijuana, we are going to have to address the fears of public use. And certainly, lighting up a joint in the public smoking area of a hospital, especially in Western Pennsylvania, is not going to win us many converts. Now, I was going to be a little more sympathetic to this guy until I read that he willingly handed over the bag of weed that is in his sock. Never consent to a search, even if you're caught red-handed smoking the joint at the hospital. Okay? Oh, man. Stories like this always crack me up, Carrie, when we have people making these kind of moves. I'm not against, you know, public, you know, civil disobedience, but, you know, smoking the joint to celebrate your kid being born may not be the best way to do it.
Yeah, and giving up your weed always is not a smart move. And I'm just ripping it out of your shoe and saying, "Oh, and by the way, I have all this as well."
Yeah, look at all this weed I've got. Yeah. I mean, at worst, you know, he was going to face the problem with the joint by having the baggie on him. You know, there's the possibility that they tack on some sort of intent to distribute or, you know, possession with intent kind of charge and makes things even worse for the guy.
But my favorite new saying now is, "I'm having a baby and I wanted to get a buzz." Buzz, baby.
yeah, we're having the baby. Want to get a buzz. Absolutely. And we hope the guy's case turns out okay. He gets himself a good lawyer. But folks, I mentioned in the previous story with the Cambridge thing, the public consumption thing is something that really bothers a lot of people. And, you know, of course we can point out the hypocrisy that people are allowed to, you know, smoke cigarettes out in public, or there's even places where they can have beers and, you know, places like Las Vegas where they can walk around on the street with alcohol in their hands. I totally understand that. But also understand that the public consumption of tobacco and alcohol have been with us for a long, long time. Marijuana is still a scary thing to a lot of people, and they still hold in their minds all these stereotypes about what we're like. And we're first going to have to get it legal. We're first going to have to get it legal and get it to the point where the professionals among us, the people that break the stereotypes about cannabis, can be open and upfront about the fact that in private they smoke marijuana. Once we get people to that level where they can accept that there's good people that smoke pot and they have nothing to fear from them, then we can start changing minds about where we can smoke the pot, when we can smoke the pot, how we can smoke the pot. But let's get it legal for private consumption first, and then we'll deal with the public consumption angle.
I think we should do some private consumption right now.
It sounds like a good time for private consumption. It's 20 after the hour on the East Coast, and it's 20 after the hour here. It's 20 after the hour everywhere.
Everywhere.
So, except those weird times.
It's 20 after the hour, and we have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
I was saying, you know, there's those weird time zones that are like 15 minutes off, half hour off, Nova Scotia. That's what I was getting at.
If he said he swam to China, he would say he was South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Georgia. Hi, this is Willie Nelson, and I need your help. Our marijuana laws are terribly unfair, and they make criminals out of law-abiding citizens. Nearly 2,000 Americans are arrested every day on marijuana charges, and we are unfairly destroying the lives and careers of hundreds of thousands of people simply because they smoke marijuana. These are not criminals. They are average citizens like you, good neighbors who work hard, raise families, pay taxes, and contribute to their communities. And it's time we stopped arresting responsible marijuana smokers. We need your help to end marijuana prohibition once and for all. It's the fair thing to do.
For more information, contact NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Call toll-free 888-67-NORML or visit their website at norml.org.
It's time for your Daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420-friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Our PodSafe music is donated by freedom-loving musicians who support our goal of ending adult marijuana prohibition. Today we get tunes for Irie Wednesday, our celebration of that mellow vibe we find in the best of reggae, ska, calypso, and Latin music. Brought to you by Grateful Dread Public Radio, Summit, New Jersey's progressive peace station at gdreadradio.net. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now, here's some great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tunes.
Hey now, friends. Grateful Dread here in Summit, New Jersey, the home of member-supported Grateful Dread Public Radio. We're a progressive music and news talk station committed to making a better world. GDPR broadcasts via the Internet 24 hours a day. Find us at gdreadradio.net. Tune in, turn on, and join us. For today's Irie Wednesday Toker Tune on Normal Show Live, we're traveling La Calle Mexicana. We have a great track from a veteran Tex-Mex outfit, Los Rieleros del Norte. The band is known for making traditional north-of-the-border Mexican music called conjunto. The genre mixes German polka cadences with Mexican ranchero sounds. Los Rieleros were founded in 1979 and recorded their first LP, El Regalito, a year later. Since then, they've scored a number of hits, including Amor Prohibido, Coba Sin Vino, and Te Quiero Mucho, and have won fans in Mexico and the U.S., and with good reason. Los Rieleros make damn fine Latin music that makes listeners feel irie. An example, today's Toker Tune, a marvelous bit of exuberance from El Regalito. The song is on the label Joey International Records, and it's called El Polvo y la Marijuana, Dust and Marijuana. Enjoy!
Señores, de un caso muy verdadero. salieron de la Sierra Tarahumara. Venían rumbo a la frontera, se dirigían a Ojinaga. Venían con un contrabando.
Tucker Tunes at the Stash blog by surfing to stash.normal.org and choosing media, and then Tucker Tunes from the main menu.
Starfish Designs, makers of the original Gandalf.
I'm Radical Russ, and when I want to relax, I always have my 17-inch long original Gandalf from Starfish Designs nearby. The hand-blown borosilicate glass is strong and easy to clean, and the design is sleek and sophisticated. Starfish Designs are available from Bend, Oregon at a glass retailer near you. For locations, call 541-788-GLASS. That's 541-788-4527. Normal Show Live reminds you to never consent to a search. If you're holding and you consent, in most states you will be arrested immediately and you will go to jail. If you don't consent to a search, police may try to intimidate you by threatening to bring in drug-sniffing dogs, or try to fool you by saying things will go easier if you consent. Yeah, easier for them, sure. Stand your ground, refuse the search, and ask the officer if you're free to go. If they still detain you and eventually find your contraband, you'll be no more busted than if you had allowed the search. But by refusing the search, your attorney has a chance to win your acquittal before a judge. If you consent to the search, your attorney's hands are tied. You can find a list of Normal Legal Committee attorneys specializing in marijuana cases by visiting the Find a Lawyer link at normal.org.
It's time for Normal Show Live's Cannabis Science with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. Dr. Earlywine is a professor of psychology at the State University of New York in Albany and the author of Understanding Marijuana. Now here's your dose of cannabis science.
Welcome back, everyone. 28 after the hour, and we're kind of getting Dr. Mitch Earlywine on the line. I think we've got the wrong number, trying his office number here, so we'll see if we can get the home number to work. While we're doing so, we've got some interesting stuff to talk about as far as kids and marijuana. We're trying to get a call put together as well from one of our own chatters who is a victim. I'm going to say a victim of the DARE program. This is, you know, part of the brainwashing that goes on, for our kids, from cops that are telling them terrible things about marijuana that just aren't true. And we're hoping we can get her on the line as well. Still having some problems. The busy signal's coming up for Dr. Mitch. All right, so we'll...
What are we going to do?
We're going to take calls here at 971-533-7111 in our Cannabis Science segment here with Dr. Mitch Earlywine, hoping that we can get Dr. Mitch on the line. We missed him last week for the election, of course, so we got to figure out what's going on. So here we'll go. and we'll take our call while we're dealing with that. Coming into our show right now, one of our favorite people from the chat room is here to tell us a harrowing tale. And is this Libra on the phone?
Yes, it is.
Oh, so glad to have you here on the phone, Libra. And we were, you know, I was trying to preview the story here a little bit because it has to do with DARE. And you've got a kid who's in the DARE program, that age. Tell our listeners about what happened with your son in this whole DARE debacle.
Okay. Well, actually, he took DARE 2 years in a row because he moved school districts. So he had double dose. And he was just in the middle of it when he got very, very curious about what he thought he saw around the house, and he started asking the questions. So we had already bought Dr. Mitch's book, and we started to go through the talk, and he pulled a knife on us.
A knife?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
He was very afraid of us.
Yeah, his own parents.
Raving drug addicts.
Wow. Wow. So what's your reaction? I mean, the kid pulls a knife on you. Is he saying, you know, stay away, you're going to get me? Or, I mean, what's he saying? What's happening in that scenario?
Yeah, he's really scared. He's got the phone in one hand, and he's going to call the cops on us. He's going to call his DARE officer. He's just going to call the cops. And he's got the knife in one hand, and then while we were freaking out, running around the house, he grabbed a sword.
Oh.
So he had a knife and a sword. And we talked him down, finally, by convincing him that we're the same people that we've always been and that it's not as bad as alcohol. And he went through all of his DARE things, he says, but it's a gateway drug.
Yeah.
And we said, we're pretty sure we're not going to start heroin now.
A little late now, huh?
So he finally calmed down. And now, Russ, he's come full circle. He is kind of intrigued by the culture and has started to watch Weeds. Mm-hmm. He's only 11. Mm-hmm. And he told me today that he didn't mind that we used. He was just mad because we had lied to him.
Yeah, and well, that's the situation that Prohibition sets us up into, is you can't tell your kids what you're doing, because if they accidentally slip, you know, and say something about it to the wrong people, you get busted just the same.
This is kind of sad, but this reminds me of when I was a kid. My dad spanked me because I kept climbing up on top of my toy box or something. And because of Sesame Street, I learned that if your parents hit you, you call the police.
Uh-huh.
And I did that. And I mean, this is just another example of that, of, you know, maybe this shouldn't be taught in schools.
Zero tolerance thinking is what
it is exactly what it is.
Yeah. And when you're talking to a kid, you know, they take these things pretty literally. You know, they think that, you know, if you say marijuana leads to heroin, heroin leads to death, and they catch their parents smoking marijuana, well, no kid wants his parents to die. You know, you're going to say, you know, we got to do something. We got to call the cops or something. That's the thing that bugs me about DARE, Libra, is that, you know, these cops will come in and tell lies about pot and, you know, lies about other drugs as well. But for the most part, the lies are about pot, but never tell the consequences of what happens after you call the cops on your parents.
Exactly. And we had to walk him through that. You know, do you realize you'll be taken from the home?
Yeah. Yeah.
We will not live here anymore, and we will be in jail.
Exactly. And that's, you know, that's the fine print that is never explained in the DARE program to these kids, is that, you know, they get the line that if you find anyone, if you know anyone that's doing this, you know, make sure you call the police because they need help. They're sick. They're you know, in trouble, and we can get them some help. They never explain that the help is locking them up and taking you away.
Right.
Yeah, it's an amazing story. And so your child has come, you know, full circle, come to understand things. How do you move forward here in his education, you know, now that he understands that marijuana isn't, you know, has been lied about? How do you convince him that the things that we're told about cocaine, meth, and heroin are still true?
Right. That, and also, how do we prevent him from using this against us? Because we're going to have to do some heavy parenting over the next few years.
Sure, sure. Now, can I ask a side question here about why is there a katana sword in the house?
Oh, he wanted it, and his daddy bought it for him.
His dad bought the 11-year-old boy a sword?
I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know about that. Let's put that away lest he gets upset about something else, and making him clean his room or something. That could be a bad situation, huh?
Exactly.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you for calling in. It's really brave of you to call, and good luck with the future here for taking care of your son and dealing with these this DARE terrorism. I appreciate your call.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, it's 34 after the hour. We've got Cannabis Carries working on getting Dr. Mitch on the line. We apparently have some of our wires crossed, or he wasn't aware that we were doing the show. You got the number there, Carrie? Is that the one we're going to go with?
Yes.
Okay, we will add that number here, see if we can get Dr. Mitch on the line. We're doing it live. It's Normal Show Live. If you ever had any doubts that this is a live show, we have just erased all doubt. So here we go. And hold your calls for now while we get Dr. Mitch on the line. I got someone trying to dial in right now. So hold on, and let's see if we can get Dr. Mitch here first. I hear ringing. We're going to get...
Hello?
Hello, Dr. Earlywine, on your cell phone, I understand.
It looks like my internet and landline are out right now. I'm in internet hell.
Internet hell? Is it a weather issue up there in New York, upstate?
I'm afraid it might be.
Okay. Well, we're going to face some of these as the wintertime comes along, but we'll make do as we can. You probably didn't get a chance to hear our last caller. We took a caller who's one of our regulars. She goes by the name Libra in the chat room. And she was telling her tale of how, her child, her 11-year-old child, is in the DARE program. And they had the talk with him, to say, hey, your parents smoke marijuana. And he flipped and grabbed a knife to hold them off while he got the phone so he could call the cops. And so she went on to tell us, how they've talked him down, and they've had the, better, and then they actually had your book as well, and were, explaining to him, we're still the same parents, nothing has changed. Do you understand that, getting mommy and daddy help means putting him in jail and taking you away from the home? And it's a pretty harrowing tale, and people here were listening to it, and I was just wanting to get your take on that whole DARE issue and, a kid pulling a knife on the parents for it.
This really breaks my heart, and I'm afraid I'm hearing stories like this more and more often. I was actually discussing the DARE program today in my class, and the misinformation around DARE seems to have increased rather than decreased since the old days. I think in part because of the success of both the medical marijuana movement and some of the legalization efforts, we're seeing a more polarized presentation by the police officers in DARE as presenting parents or people who possess illicit drugs as criminals. And then, of course, kids are going to freak out and think they're murderers and rapists and terrorists and all this other stuff. And it's really a problem. I went to my daughter's school to complain, and they said, oh, but the police really love doing it. We know it doesn't really work, but we just want the police on our side. So it's like these schools are kind of trapped into doing this. And I'm really disappointed, but I think, these parents, again, as you're establishing a good relationship with your kids and keeping that relationship strong, you can talk them down. But, man, that is just sad. What a horror story.
Yeah, I just wonder if they're issuing any brown shirts along with that DARE program, because it smacks of Nazi propaganda. Before we get into questions, and we're taking questions live on the phone and through our chat line, but before we get to that, I always give you the chance to preview or show us, the latest science that has been uncovered and discovered about marijuana. I saw a study that came across about driving, cannabis, and alcohol, and I was wondering if you had any review on that one.
The clincher, the real key finding in that is that experienced users who are high in tolerance also can essentially resist any negative effects of cannabis on driving. But I'm afraid what's going to get coverage is they aren't resistant to the impact of cannabis and alcohol simultaneously, which, of course, we wouldn't expect. Duh, they're not heavy drinkers. They love the plant, not fermented hops and barley.
Yeah.
But I'm afraid people are going to make a big deal out of that part instead of the good news that's not particularly surprising, and that's that people who are experienced users don't really show any impairment with cannabis and driving.
Yeah, and haven't we seen in studies before on the use of both cannabis and alcohol simultaneously an increased impairment?
Exactly. Roby's data out of the Netherlands showed the same issue. And in effect, also showed really minimal impairment with cannabis, worse with alcohol, and then the combination was worse of all. This is hardly news to anybody who's experienced these substances together. What they seem to miss is, at least in Roby's experience, when he told people, okay, now you're going to go drive, they said, oh, do I have to? You know, it's really not anybody's favorite way to drive. And the data on the high tolerance drivers is consistent with other data we've seen with cannabis intolerance. So, again, not a big surprise, but I'm glad these data are out there.
And I wanted to ask you about the History Channel program that you were on, and I wanted to congratulate you on seeming sane and rational versus Ron Allen and Gil Kerlikowske in the show. But what did you think that the overall mood of the program was? Was it, you know, pro-marijuana or anti-marijuana or straight down the middle?
I felt like, despite attempts to be even-handed, both Jeffrey Myron and I kind of got the last words in. So right before one of the commercial breaks, I'm saying, we all realize it's just unethical to throw people in jail for owning a plant. And then we have a commercial break. And I thought, all right, let's end on that note, right?
Yeah,
and then Jeff's at the very end saying, you know, basically, this is ridiculous, and the future's going to be... marijuana is going to be freed, and then that's the end. And I thought, all right, this is a nice way to end it, and I'm kind of glad they went that way. The folks at Holy Cow Productions who did this show, it was clear they really, you know, liked us, but had, you know, a History Channel to please. So I'm pretty delighted with how it turned out.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing it. And by the way, Dr. Mitch, this is our second show with Ganja John back. His kidney has kicked into gear. He's actually having to pee before the show.
I was actually just going to run upstairs. I'm 100% serious.
I've never been happier about hearing that somebody had to pee.
No, it's a beautiful thing.
It is.
Okay. Let's go to some of our questions coming up from the chat room, and you can call in as well at 971-533-7111. Big Doug Blacksmith wants to know, how long does a doctor have to keep your medical records, and what can you do if the clinic will not provide them? It's really hurting his chances of getting a medical marijuana card.
In fact, national HIPAA recommendations suggest that if you request the records, they are supposed to release them. Or if you get a new physician and have that physician request the records, they are bound by law to release them. So this is a punishable offense. They could get in a lot of trouble for that. In theory, at least, if you have another physician request those records, they should be released.
So there's no expiration date on medical records. Like after 90 days, they can shred them. They have to keep them forever.
In theory, if you haven't been a patient there in 7 years, they can get rid of them.
Oh, okay.
But again, they should keep them for, you know, that long.
Now, I've heard of situations where people are trying to get their medical records, of course, so they can take them to another clinic for getting a medical marijuana card, and the clinic will want, you know, all sorts of exorbitant fees, you know, $10 a page fees to have things faxed or to have things copied. Is that out of line with HIPAA regulations?
The set on the fees is different in different states, but generally, if another clinic requests rather than an individual, you can sidestep that because they'll want to charge you to the insurance. The insurance will fight it for you rather than you having to fight it yourself.
Okay. All right, let's get another question in here from Lisa Boston. Wants to know, she says, trichomes on a marijuana plant, trichomes look like mushrooms. Is there any relation or connection between the two as far as their composition?
As it turns out, no. The psilocybin and aminomeristeria, all the psychoactive mushrooms function in different neurotransmitter systems from the cannabinoid system, so that's not really the issue. Generally, a lot of things are shaped the same because that is a maximizing of surface area, so mushrooms are shaped the way mushrooms are shaped in part because that way they get as much air as they can given how much volume they have, and it may be very much the same case for trichomes.
Oh, okay. Okay, so similar forces, leading to their shape but having nothing to do with each other, you know, physically.
Exactly.
Okay. Question here from Apparatus Beats. Can you read any good results in using canna capsules? And I believe these are where they take ground cannabis and it's activated in a low-heat oven and then put into some gel caps or something like that. He says, my mom is willing to take them to replace strong pain medicine. I read that some are made with coconut oil. So what do you have for us as far as these cannabis-type capsule preparations?
Well, I personally think they're excellent. I mean, obviously there's a lot of variation and different ones are different, but the idea, when you think about it, is a very efficient oral administration, and it's going to be the kind of thing where you'll have a gradual onset like any other orally administered version of cannabis, and longer duration, which is ideal for folks who need it for sleep or for, you know, some kind of condition where they want to have a long-term relief from symptoms. I really think they're the way of the future. Nevertheless, you really have to be careful with dosage, and like any other pill, it's only may come in certain sizes, so you probably want to get a small one if your mom's not an experienced user.
Okay, we're speaking with Dr. Mitch Earlywine, professor of psychology at SUNY Albany and one of America's leading researchers on marijuana, drugs, and alcohol. And we have a question here from Yellowwana Cake, one of our regular stashers. And she says she had a chat with someone at a local marijuana clinic, and she says that you can have drug interactions with medical marijuana that are deadly. And she was referring to interactions with drugs like psychoactive drugs like buspirone, Haldol, anxiety-type drugs. Are there potentially deadly drug interactions with cannabis use?
As far as the psychoactive drugs for mental illness, probably not. There are some odd interactions with, of all things, Viagra, as we've discussed in the past. So cannabis seems to alter the way Viagra is metabolized and ends up making it really hard to get out of your system, and it's an aversive, unpleasant situation, and can have some odd cardiac effects as well. But as far as a lethal interaction with cannabis and another mental illness-based medicine, no, I honestly don't think there are any published cases of that.
Okay. Riceratops has a question. He asks, in the past year or so, I've gotten into rolling blunts, from breaking down like a Dutch Boy cigar or a Swisher Sweet and filling it with weed. Can you talk about that method and any potential drawbacks to those?
Unfortunately, there's still tobacco present in those external leaves on the cigar, and given the rampant habit of holding hits a long time from blunts, you're unfortunately exposing yourself to tobacco-related carcinogens under those circumstances. At the very least, I feel like if you're going to roll a blunt, don't hold your hits. And, in fact, James Acne has data suggesting that the holding the big blockbuster hit is not at all essential for maintaining good psychoactive effects of cannabis. And, in truth, if you can lean towards the vaporizer or even the joint with regular papers, you'd be doing better.
Okay. We have a question here from another one of our regular guests, our own Danny Danko, the High Times Senior Cultivation Editor, who's hanging out in the chat room right now. And he asks, Dr. Mitch, are you concerned that some cannabis reformers are invested in companies like GW Pharmaceuticals, and that might be a conflict of interest, or might not have the best interests of cannabis in mind by having that conflict?
That's a completely reasonable question, but first I just want to tell Danny the 420th issue of High Times is a complete and wonderful achievement and a really superb issue of the magazine. As far as investments in GW Pharmaceuticals, the clincher here is people may be confused about why would somebody do this and what does it mean. I think a lot of folks in the movement got calls from folks who were cannabis friendly, thinking, hey, GW Pharmaceuticals is going to be a stepping stone towards letting folks know that the cannabinoids are really medicine and are nothing to fear. Other folks are saying, oh, wait, but if you're pro-GW Pharmaceuticals, then you must be against medical marijuana or against legalization, and you're going to pharmaceuticalize all of this. In truth, the reformers I know don't have enough money to put that much money into GW, but I understand the arguments on both sides. I do have some shares left, I think. They're worth about a dollar. And my point was, I thought if this came out, people would realize, hey, cannabinoids are really medicine, and this would be good for the movement in the long run. If people see it another way, I'm completely willing to entertain that discussion.
Okay. This is something I've heard in numerous conspiracy theory type talk, you know, especially when we got Prop 19 on the ballot and everyone was fighting for that. Things like, you know, George Soros would only invest in drug reform because he has stock in Monsanto and they're going to make, you know, Franken seeds and take over the cannabis market. And, You know, I think people, you know, don't understand how diverse stock portfolios are, how many different stocks George Soros must have, and, you know, it'd only be a drop in the bucket for something like that. But what do you think about that, about these theories that we end up having? And you've studied cannabis culture for a long time. There's the theory that, you know, Philip Morris is going to buy up all the land and roll Marlboro joints, and these theories that all seem to center around the notion of a big conglomerate, unknown, malevolent force taking over the marijuana industry. What are your thoughts on that?
I understand everyone's concern, and anytime there's a lot of money involved, I can certainly see how that could be an issue. All the major cigarette companies have said, look, we're in the nicotine administration business. We don't really want to get into this. I, nevertheless, think once they see how much money is a possibility, they may be persuaded. I think this idea that we'll have sort of microbrewery type, you know, little boutique growers around is a nice idea, but I wouldn't want to see agribusiness suddenly take over so that now there's really only three kinds of marijuana in the world because they've all bought up everything and grown everything, and that's it. Folks at Americans for Safe Access have expressed this concern, and I don't think it's completely irrational. I think prepping ahead of time and saying these are the regulations we want to have for cannabis growers and producers of cannabis more generally is completely reasonable, and getting that kind of thing laid out prior to legalization in an individual state would be time well spent.
We're speaking with Dr. Mitch Earlywine, professor of psychology at SUNY Albany, and we always talk to Dr. Mitch on the Wednesdays here and take your calls live and your chat questions live. But if you don't get a chance to get your question answered, you can always send an email to 420research@gmail.com. That's 420research@gmail.com. We have time for one more question here coming from Smoke 420 Bud, who asks, what are the dangers associated with smoking moldy cannabis?
The clincher here is there's a certain type of mold that is hard on anybody who is immunosuppressed. So if your immune system is down, one of those molds in particular can be extremely harmful to the lungs and to your entire system. It's relatively easy to, you know, put your cannabis in an oven that's been heated up to about 180 degrees and just let it kill off any mold. But in all honesty, knowing your grower, storing your cannabis in a cool, dry environment, and throwing away anything that is even the least bit suspicious is the way to go as far as this approach is concerned.
Yeah, we'll make sure that we do that for Ganja John here. He is immunosuppressed as all get out. So, Dr. Mitch, thanks for joining us again, and especially for braving the elements and the internet outages and joining us here on Normal Show Live. We always appreciate it.
Thank you.
It's tough talking to kids about marijuana, especially if you might be a parent who dabbled a time or two in your youth. So to help you out, get your copy of Dr. Mitch Earlywine's latest book, A Parent's Guide to Marijuana. Dr. Earlywine is an associate professor of psychology at the State University of New York at Albany and an expert on the studies concerning marijuana, its effect on health and society, and the methodology behind the statistics. He is a frequent guest here on our daily audio stash. Dr. Earlywine lays it all out without the propaganda and scare tactics that parents know won't work with teenagers. He presents a rational understanding of cannabis, what it is and what it isn't, and why kids shouldn't be using marijuana. You can order today through Amazon.com or check our links at our blog, stash.normal.org.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
You want answers?
You have offended my family.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
You can't handle the truth.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious, and don't call me Shirley.
Radical rant. 54 after the hour, and this little rant goes out to a whole bunch of people. It comes from a news story here from the San Jose Mercury News that reports that drug agents in the recent weeks have raided three local medical marijuana providers in San Jose, several other collectives, including Harborside Health Center, Stevie D'Angelo's Harborside Health Center, one of the area's largest and best established, have simply closed, fearing an imminent bust. According to the recent, in addition to the recent raids, South Bay narcotics agents ran a sting operation dubbed Up in Smoke. Why must they dub all their sting operations with a pot pun? Against medical marijuana delivery services, arresting almost two dozen suspects, officials accused of, quote, perverting the state's medicinal marijuana law. Santa Clara County Special Enforcement Team Commander Danielle Ayers defended the raids in an interview, saying the marijuana sellers were nothing more than profiteering drug peddlers and that their activities were drawing complaints. She noted the number of marijuana dispensaries has multiplied to 88 in the county, mostly in San Jose, in just 2 years. In recently unsealed affidavits attached to two of the raids, narcotics agents accused the dispensaries of selling pot for profit, violating state guidelines that medical marijuana be distributed only by nonprofits. In their investigations of Angel's Care, undercover agents who bought marijuana with such names as Orange Kush and Grapefruit Diesel argued in court documents that the operation sold pot for street prices 12 or 13 times the cost of growing it. Quote, I believe it is highly improbable Angel's Care Collective generated no profit from projected annual sales of $5.8 million with a 75% markup on their marijuana, end quote, wrote Agent Dean Ackerman. The thousands of members, Angel's Care reported 6,500 members, had no responsibilities or duties toward their cooperative or collective, documents said, other than the right to purchase pot. And this is a scary story for people in California because, of course, Prop 19 failed at the ballot box. And, you know, Prop 19 would have protected these dispensaries from raids by police. But it didn't make it. And unfortunately, it's looking like Steve Cooley's going to be your next attorney general. He's widened his lead over Kamala Harris from 32,000 votes to 40,000 votes in the counting of these final last straggling votes from the election last week. So looks like you're going to get Steve Cooley, who believes that 100% of the dispensaries operating in Los Angeles County are illegal, who firmly believes that there is no legal selling of marijuana in the state of California. I think about hundreds of thousands of people in California who think I got's mine are in for a tragic lesson over the next couple of years. You're going to be taught by the next attorney general that nonprofit means officers that are paid a modest salary and proceeds that must be returned to the organization. That cooperative means your level of participation has to be more than just purchasing cannabis. That collective means everybody participates in the production of the cannabis. And they're going to find out that there's nothing in California law that recognizes a right to sell cannabis. Now, don't get me wrong. These raids are reprehensible. Anytime we're sending cops in to smash and grab and, you know, ruin people's property and terrorize patients and terrorize people that are using marijuana, it's always a bad thing. And I don't wish for any dispensary to be raided or shut down. I don't even wish for the dispensaries that were against Prop 19 to be raided and shut down. Although, if there are going to be raids and somebody has to prioritize the targets, I do think karma has something coming for Lynette Davies and a few of these other dispensary owners who fought against Prop 19. Still, I don't wish them to get raided. But this whole situation, being the very dark cloud that it is with Steve Cooley becoming Attorney General, there may be a silver lining here. You know, 46% of California voted for Prop 19. While the support for legalization in general on the Gallup polls is about 58%. So there are about 12% of people who support legalization in concept who didn't support Prop 19. Now, maybe they didn't support it because they didn't like the particular language. Maybe they were swayed by dispensary owners, the stoners against legalization, and their own perceptions that, hey, it's legal enough already. I got a dispensary. I can grow weed. It's only a ticket if I have more than less than an ounce. Maybe they were convinced by that. Well, these raids and the forthcoming next couple of years of Steve Cooley as Attorney General is really going to wake those people up to realize that the I got's mine ain't that much. That they're going to find out that their rights only go as far as the law is written and how it's interpreted. And that Steve Cooley's not going to be interpreting it in your favor anytime soon. It's just a shame that a whole bunch of very sick and disabled people are going to have to suffer restricted access so that the anxiety patients from the mosh pit at the Cypress Hill Smokeout can learn a political lesson. But I guess at least Richard Lee won't be getting rich off of George Soros' Monsanto Franken seeds. I guess Philip Morris won't be, you know, selling their toxic, swaggy joints, so there's always that. Being a little facetious here, you stoners against legalization, you're going to hear it from me from the next 2 years. Every time there's a raid, every time there's a bust, you could have voted against this, but you didn't. You argued for people to vote against this. It's a shame. Some lessons are harder to learn than others.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
I'm Radical Russ for Ganja John and Cannabis Carry. Thanks for joining us here for the hour one of Normal Show Live. Coming up, hour two, Toker Talk Radio, your calls, and more fun live. And until next time, take care of each other, Tokers.